Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. I just heard the worst song in the history of the world, by the way. Oh, it's No Knock at our sister station. K-Hits, which is actually a fine radio station, a radio station I don't dislike at all. I actually find myself listening to K-Hits and grooving quite often to their fine selection of tunes. But I will say this, I was just walking through the lobby and they were playing the single worst song in the history of all humanity, which is Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty. And I have it, I don't think I have it here. I was going to play it, and I don't think I do. I think it's in my office. I'll have to locate it.
That's all right. Some other time.
No, everybody needs to hear it again. Everybody needs to be subjected to that song over and over again. Because I was trying the other day, and I was never able to do it. I was trying to put together a top five, and there's actually two that I didn't do. Because remember last week, Jen Lane was here, and I had this whole thing where I was going to put together the top five greatest game show themes of all time, and I didn't do that. So Jen's going to be here later on. She's going to smack me around for not assembling the top five game show TV theme songs of all time. But I was trying to do this top five that is the top five most overplayed talk radio beds of all time. And that was going to be number one, by the way. But I was really only able to come up with four. I couldn't even come up with the other two. The four that I had, I was just sure top four. But one of them was Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty. And I'll get it. We'll play it later on so you can hear. And you will know it. It's one of those songs that nobody knows the name of. But as soon as it begins to play, you realize it because you know that you've heard it on every single... And it's always like some terrible, tedious, either late night or weekend talk show. Some Barry Farber type guy sitting behind a microphone talking about oat thins for 4 hours. You know what I mean? The miracle of how grapes gave him regularity in the morning. So, and Tim did know, by the way, that it's the most difficult song ever to talk the post up on. So, we'll get there later on. All right, here's what's coming up. This hour, we have a CNN radio correspondent, Gary Baumgartner, who's going to join us. Jen Lane will be here. We'll play these campaign ads from Vernon Robinson, who's running for Congress in North Carolina. And we've got the top 50 conservative rock songs of all time, as decided by National Review, which is not a list that we're going to count down in its entirety. I'm just going to kind of skim it because it's such a ludicrous concept. A few phone calls to get through, all this email and so forth. And I didn't... It's now two nights in a row, if I'm right about this, that we've been on the evening news, and it's two nights in a row that I've missed it. Because you were on Coin, when was it, Tuesday or Wednesday? Or Monday? It was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
Because we talked about it. So on Tuesday, Sarah was on Coin. Coin did this whole...
We never listened to it yesterday.
Well, do you have...
I have it. Just, yeah, go to my MySpace thing. It plays.
All right. Is my computer turned down? Is it going to automatically play here?
No, you have to click it on, but...
And is it the... At your MySpace?
Yes, in my comments. Squid posted it as a comment.
All right.
It's so dramatic.
Was there a Chiron for it? Was it like, you know,
yes,
a bicycle built for one or, you know, just something ridiculous?
No, it was, Sarah was really excited when she got a great parking spot, but it turns out
but her excitement turned to sadness.
Yeah. She could have ever picked.
All right, I've got it here. We'll play it in a second. So on Tuesday, Coin did this whole thing about her car being smashed into. And they've now arrested the woman who allegedly did that. And they caught and released the human trout that slammed into Sarah's car, allegedly. So we're going to go heckle her. But then last night we were on Fox 12, and I had no idea. So here's what happened. Now we'll play this Coin thing, and if anybody has, I had a chance to talk to the Fox people. If anybody by chance did record that Fox News, you got to give it to us. So last night, at some point, like in the last 6 months, MySpace became not only the social networking hub, but the preferred method of communication between certain types of people. I don't say that as a pejorative. It's just one of those things. Like, I have people now, friends of mine, guys in the media, and their preferred method of communication is via MySpace. And they're not going to give you a call. They don't email you. It's like they'll send you a MySpace message. And so MySpace was down a lot of yesterday. I wasn't able to get to it. So by the time I was able to log onto my MySpace site last night, it was around 10:30, 10:45. So I'm at home. I click onto my MySpace thing, I'm reading my messages, and I get a message from this guy, Dave, at Fox. And I read, and it's like, dude, we're doing a piece on Horns Across the Hawthorne. You'd please give me a call so we can get your comments for the story. And, of course, by that time, it was, like, way too late. Literally, as I'm reading the MySpace comment about it, the phone rings, and it's Joni DeRoshi saying, hey, you're on Fox News, doing a thing about Horns Across the Hawthorne. And by the time I turned on the TV, it had already missed it. So I guess it was sort of an adjunct to a much larger piece that they were doing about the the 666 thing, the June 6th, which is coming up on Tuesday. And they had that, so there's that imp, that idiot woman in Britain who wants to have her labor induced because she didn't want to have the, because I don't want my baby to be the Antichrist. Well, apparently there's some woman, there's some local woman with the same thing. Now, this is now the preferred attention whoring method for all moms to be right now. She's afraid that your baby's going to come out hoofed and so forth. But I guess they ended it with a whole thing about, and one radio personality, Rick Emerson, he's going to be doing horns across the Hawthorne. And I guess. So, if anybody saw it, because none of us did, right? Did you see it?
No, I don't watch
it. Sarah, did you watch? Did you? Because none of us knew anything about it. I didn't even know it was going to happen. It's fantastic. I'm glad they did.
Yeah, I can't believe that we made it on there. That's cool.
So, if anybody saw that, you got to give us the heads up, because I don't know. I have no idea what the story even consisted of. All right, so this is the coin piece, though, about Sarah. Go ahead and let's see. This is Coin's article about Sarah's car.
Well, a Southeast Portland woman is stunned to find her car smashed outside of a Portland nightclub over the weekend. Coin News 6 reporter Cor Harlan is here now with more on this story. Cor?
Well, Kelly, Sarah Dillon picked what she thought was a perfect parking spot outside of a nightclub Sunday night, but the perfect parking spot turned out actually to be the worst possible spot thanks to the efforts of a driver who crashed into Sarah's parked car and then fled on foot.
So I was parked right about here. Mm-hmm. The person hit me.
Oh, look at you all.
Just right there in the middle in the wrong lane.
Oh, it's...
Look at me all what?
No, it's doing that thing. It's got a...
Is it buffering?
It's buffering. No, but you're... Now, you're a beautiful woman and all, but normally when you're going to be on television, you kind of tart up a little bit. This is sort of going out on the street to the club, Sarah here. This is sort of like rock Sarah. This is not business Sarah. Do you think it's like culture shock to the people who watch you in the morning?
Well, yeah, I put on a little more lipstick than I wear in the middle of the day just to shock the Coin audience.
Expecting you to wear a blazer?
The perfect parking spot Sunday night, but 15 minutes after Coin News 6 morning traffic reporter Sarah Dillon parked outside of a Southeast Portland nightclub, her car was smashed into by a hit-and-run driver in a stolen vehicle.
There were a ton of witnesses, and everyone said they hadn't seen anything.
The people that hit Sarah's car were in no mood to hang around. They fled on foot into the surrounding neighborhood near 49th and Hawthorne here. But they hit Sarah's car hard enough to knock it almost 20 feet in the opposite direction. Sarah's right front tire actually came to rest against this phone pole.
This is from the pole. This is where the car smashed it against the pole.
Sarah had her damaged car towed home. She awaits word now from her insurance company on just how bad the damage may be. But in the flash of an eye,
you and your dog,
victimized by car thieves who she'll likely never be able to...
You're standing in a field here. What is that about?
It's a field. It's a shrub.
Why are you standing in the middle of...
Looks like the gardeners hadn't arrived.
Seriously, where are you standing here?
In an unkempt part of Hawthorne.
Literally, it looks like you're standing in the middle of a forest with this guy.
That's the grass between the sidewalk and the street.
Okay, it's a grassy knoll.
Before we continue this, by the way, I should note that this is not what I expected a man named Cor Harlan to look like. I thought Cor... You think... How do you spell his name? K-O-H-R?
He was very handsome. Yeah, K-O-H-R.
I figured he'd be sort of a young... Like a young Turk.
No, he's huge. He's like 6'6".
He's older than I expected. But I can see... Yeah. I can see how a young Sarah Dillon might be impressed by a...
By Cor Harlan.
Cor Harlan really sounds like the daytime persona of some sort of a superhero. And then he becomes like...
He looks like a superhero. That's what he looks like.
He really does. He's a big guy. Fine.
It's really frustrating, especially since, I've had this car for 6 years, and I love it. It was my college car.
You posing with your dog.
Kept running around. I had to pick him up.
Make him more relatable. Get a dog. Do you have a baby? Have her hold a baby.
Actually, she looks like a teen idol.
Not drivable. The tow truck driver actually said he thinks it's a total loss.
There's a picture of you pedaling away.
Bike rides to and from work in downtown Portland. It's a financial pain that accrues as higher insurance premiums and unexpected expenses keep the pain coming long after the accident is over.
Pedaling away again.
And yes, that is the same Sarah Dillon that does our traffic here in the morning. The registered owner of the car that struck Sarah's told us that the car was stolen from his Southeast Portland home about 4 hours before Sarah's crash is reported to have happened.
So do they have any idea who stole the car in the first place?
This is just an investigation that I don't think police even really have their teeth sunk into yet. Sarah says she has actually talked with someone at the club who may have known the person that was driving that car. So
That remains to be seen. Police are going to investigate this likely further, and so whether or not this car was actually stolen is somewhat of an issue that's still an open question.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
So that's the,
thank you, Cor Harlan.
Cor. So there's the now who. Let me ask you this. Who is Cor Harlan? I've never heard of him. What does he do?
I don't know. He appeared working for Coin sometime last year. Mark Ronchetti and I were obsessed with him. Well,
really? Pleased to be explaining that comment.
Because imagine all of a sudden, you know, just going along.
Picturing his writhing, sweaty body.
You know, you see Kelly Day, Jolie Winaga, then all of a sudden there's this man called Cor Harlan.
Is Cor out just... Cor Harlan, we got to get him in here. He seems like he's a guy who's just out striding around the streets wearing a mask late at night,
he's
confronting wrongdoers. Really?
Uh-huh.
He might be listening right now.
He is a large man. He seems like he has a warm paternal vibe to him.
Yeah, he was very, very nice.
Cor Harlan seems like, you know what? Attention, Coin 6. I'm now going to give you a free marketing tip. This is for me to you. Send no money. You may have this idea. You know Cor Harlan? You know who he ought to be? Okay. Cor on coin? There, look at that. See? Do you see the marketing genius that a coin could be using right now? Okay, first of all, they ought to be doing that in a logo right now. Cor on coin. And then because they both start with a K, both four letters, that's a logo that creates itself. Cor, coin, one, you know, blah, blah, blah. He also, because he's an imposing man physically, and because he's got sort of an aggressive vibe to him, they ought to be doing him as the Cor on your side. You know, he ought to be doing that one, like the old Mike Wallace role where, like, if you've been wronged or if a guy has, like, screwed you when you went to get your muffler repaired, like, he goes and works him over with the camera.
Yeah, Cor, he talks like Jimmy Stewart, but I swear he has the worst, like, the dirtiest language I've ever heard.
Really?
Yeah, he's so sophisticated looking, and then he's so funny.
I didn't hear it in that report.
And then they can do the obligatory, somebody like, getting to the Cor of today's biggest stories.
That is good.
Listen to me, Coin 6. His head is not just for looks. There you go. Okay.
He's the Cor of family values.
No. Let's never say that.
I'll see if I can call him.
Yeah, you got
to
get him on.
Come on. Yeah.
All right. Hey, we got to get Ronchetti on here. I'm sorry, the Ronk.
No, the Ronk moved.
What?
He moved to Albuquerque.
Why would you move to Albuquerque?
To be closer to his family. He had some family stuff. He needed to go.
Well, that's stupid. Well, never mind. Well, we should call him at home. Can we call...
Every day on the weather chart...
I want to find out what the weather's going to be for Tuesday.
It's always in red in Albuquerque.
Yeah, all right. Seriously, what you possible use could there be for a weather guy in Albuquerque? What's happening today? Well, it's flat and dull. There you go. That's it. Should I be taking these calls?
Well, you know what line she was. I don't know who.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick. It's Ethan.
Hi, Ethan. How can I help you today?
Well, I saw that... Fox News.
Oh, so you did see the Fox 12 thing last night, where they talked about horns over the Hawthorne. Now, what did they say? What was the general gist of it?
Well, you know, they were talking about the lady that didn't want to give birth and all that.
Right.
And then they did the little spot on, you know, the omen coming out again.
Well, that's right, because this, today, actually, again in the paper, they're doing this whole thing about the omen, and they're counting down to 666 and the Antichrist birth. Yeah.
And then they broke... And one local news person or local radio personality is taking a difference.
And did they? What were they showing on the screen while they talked about this? Did they show the bridge
anchor off to one side and then taking up that, like, a third of the screen? Horns across the Hawthorne in big block letters.
Oh.
And underneath that was the logo.
Which logo that we've been using that Roger Bridges made
I haven't actually looked on the website, but I'm almost positive that is the one.
It was a big red hand.
Yeah, the hand, and then it had like the 5-point star on the bottom of
it. That's what I'm talking about. That's a combination of two things. It's a combination of the show logo by Joni DeRoshi and then the horns across the Hawthorne logo by this guy Roger Bridges, who's a listener.
Cool.
And so did they give the name of the station?
You know, I don't think they did give the name of the station.
That's okay.
And they said they cut to a full screen, and they showed the times. They actually said 5:30 on the bridge instead of the grassy knoll.
Well, that's okay. It's okay. No,
they'll
find us. And again, we're really giving thanks to Fox 12 for helping us out with it. I mean,
absolutely.
I had no idea that they were going to be doing that until I got the phone calls last night. You're on Fox 12. So it's fantastic.
It was funny because they were talking about the lady that was going to give birth.
Right.
And I was about ready to say to my wife, well, you know, Rick is going to do this thing over there on the bridge.
You know what it is? How old are you, if I can ask?
31.
See, you're right in their core demographic, my friend. You know what it is? Fox 12, they know what you need. Right there. They are playing to the base, as Carl Rove would say. All right. Yeah. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, man.
All right, there you go. That's Ethan. Rick, won't Sarah need some therapy to handle all the car crashing auto stress? Let's get her therapist on camera, rubbing her shoulders, offering some sweet, sweet therapy.
I'll see her next week. We'll have a lot of discussion about
this. All right.
This.
No, we're going to help you prepare a list of things to talk to your therapist.
Oh, are
about.
You really?
Yes, we are. No, there's no, it's the people we want to help you maximize. We get the most for your therapy dollar.
Okay.
We should break here. Coming up, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten will be here. Later on, Jen Lane. We got the top five Zeppelin guitar intros. What else? We have the top 50 conservative rock songs as decided upon by a national review. Talk more about Horns Across the Hawthorn. We got It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. Another campaign ad from Vernon Robinson and all that. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming back. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Dun, 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 dun. How about this, Rick? Coins new segments. Hardcore news. Yeah. It's fantastic. See?
You could do all the Craigslist sex stories and stuff.
And they did, were you telling me this morning they did like the 9 second pause before the...
Yeah, Lynn did the host. It was, I laughed on the air because like it was
can
so
you
dramatic.
Recreate it now?
Yeah, he said, and Craigslist is now being used to sell sex.
Craigslist is now being used to sell sweeps week. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. We got the City Desk, Top 5 Zeppelin guitar intros, these unbelievable campaign ads by Vernon Robinson, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the city that never sleeps, our good friend, CNN radio correspondent.
New York City!
Joining us now in the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, I am A-OK. How are you?
Are you really A-OK?
Yes, I am.
Are you also...
If it weren't true.
Are you also fine and dandy, Gary Baumgarten?
I'm fine and dandy. Jeepers.
Boy, howdy. all right. Here's the thing. Sometimes we get, I pick up the news in the morning and I'll read these CNN sheets. And again, it talks about, you know, kind of what's happening in different parts of the country, what CNN's talking about, what they're covering.
Yeah.
Some days they're stories that I anticipate, I understand, I know why they're happening. Sometimes these stories almost seem like bad jokes. So apparently, because we have now solved all of our domestic problems, we have cured poverty, we've stopped the spread of avian flu, the war is over, we have stopped the rise of Islamic fundamentalists. So now, of course, we are going to be banning candy-flavored cigarettes.
Yes. That's it. That's it. This is the big push. The Lung Association is asking the city of New York, and legislation is being drafted for an ordinance that would ban the sale of the candy-flavored cigarettes because the argument is that they are targeting underage smokers because all their older smokers, the argument goes, are all dying of cancer.
They do understand that we're talking about cigarettes made of candy, right? They did see
These are real cigarettes that are candy-flavored.
Yes, yes.
These are like back when I was a kid where you go to the novelty store and you got these sugary cigarette candies that there was a candy, little stick of candy. No, these are real cigarettes.
Is that, is that really true? So we're talking... Let me understand this. So we're actually not talking about cigarettes made of candy here. We are actually talking about cigarettes that taste of... These are actual tobacco cigarettes that taste of candy?
That's right.
Sarah, do you know anything about this? Not that you're a smoker, but you know people who are.
No, I know many of them, and I've never heard of that.
Here's the thing. Neither had I. And when I said that to the gal from the Lung Association, she said, well, you know what? Adults aren't very well aware that these cigarettes are available, but children are.
They probably talk about these cigarettes on the MySpace.
Right, probably.
That's probably where the kids learn. So, this is really bizarre. So, it seems, first of all, doesn't it seem like if they're cigarettes, period, that the problem is just like that people shouldn't be selling them to children. That'd be like a that'd be a good place to start, it seems to me.
Yes, yes, and that's part of the problem too. They did a survey in one community in the Bronx, and they found that the that they sent testers in, and they found that they were selling these cigarettes to people under the age of 18, and in New York State, you have to be 18 to purchase and smoke cigarettes.
We're living in a whole strange new world here, and again, I understand that you shouldn't be selling cigarettes to children, but it does seem like we pick and choose what we become really hardcore about, because I clearly remember, as I'm sure many people do, I lived down the street from a convenience store when I was a kid, and of course, I'm not a smoker and never have been, but I do remember those days where my grandmother would send me down to the store with a note from her to buy her a pack of smokes, and it was a whole lot of,
right.
Dear clerk, pleased to be selling my grandson, a carton of Cools, or whatever.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, you know, whatever. This is like we had that story last year about there's some sort of throat lozenge. It's like a hard candy you can buy, but the deal is the hard candy tastes of vodka. And so they're trying, no vodka in it. It just sort of tastes of vodka, but they're taking it off the market because, you know, it's hard candy is a gateway drug or whatever. So I have never heard about any of this stuff. What kind
of... Well, actually, it's funny you should mention that, Rick, because while some of the candies, cigarettes have flavors like mocha chocolate mint, you know, it's like going into a Baskin Robbins or something, you know. There are others that have actually vodka and gin taste to them.
Like a cigarette that tastes of vodka?
Yes, right.
Attention, Sarah Dillon. There you go. Two birds, one stone. All right.
Exactly.
All right, Gary Baumgarten, my friend, enjoy the... Why don't you give me the obscene finger gestures? I'm such a pristine girl.
Because that was funny.
No, I'm just saying. It's an idea whose time has come. I'm amazed that I didn't think of that. They really ought to have a cigarette that tastes of coffee. That'd be the best thing ever, because that's the...
Oh, man, we could make some money on that.
Do you hear me right? Okay, this is what I'm saying right now. Everybody ought to strike while this iron is hot. A cigarette that tastes of coffee, a pizza that tastes of beer. These are all things they ought to roll in together. You know, look, let me just tell you, go to my freezer right now at home. I buy combinations of stuff that doesn't seem like you'd really want. Like, I've got this habanero pepper ice cream at home, which, you know, is great, but it doesn't really seem like it'd be a big seller, and yet it's there. You go to the store, especially if you go to like a Trader Joe's or something, and you'll see sometimes these really bizarre combinations of food that they sell where it's like a broccoli ice cream or some crap. So you can market a cigarette, you know, that has like a nice coffee taste to it. That's money in the bank, my friend. The key is in addictive substances. That is the key to your financial security in the future. Just a note, in case you're curious. Like,
you and I are going to go into business together.
That's what I'm saying. The news thing doesn't work out. We take over a small island somewhere in the South Pacific, and we begin to sell nicotine and other addictive substances.
Over the internet, offshore.
Over the internet and to the indigenous peoples. That is where the money is in this country, in this world of ours. All right, Gary Baumgarten, enjoy the rest of your day, my friend.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Gary Baumgarten. Sometimes I don't think Gary enjoys my plans to take over the world and become an evil overlord. I'm just saying, though, that is... All the good countries and islands have already been discovered by now, but that's it. You show up, you give them the gift of nicotine, and shame. All the financial stability lies in the future.
So weird.
I'm telling you, would you buy if you were a smoker?
No, I wouldn't.
If there was just, let me ask
you
this.
If there was a cigarette that tasted like alcohol?
No, not even that. A cigarette that had a pleasant sort of coffee taste to it. Because the coffee and the cigarettes, that's what everybody does.
Well, if I was a smoker.
Think of the sales to the drama clubs of this world alone. If I could go to Joni DeRoshi right now.
Like, you're talking about, like, black coffee flavored or, like, latte flavored?
I mean, you could either or. It doesn't matter. Viva la difference. This is the land of variety. I mean, that's... I'm just saying. You should get on that right now. Not that I advocate such things, but you should do that. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. See, and I had this whole riff prepared about candy, cigarettes, and blah, blah, blah. It's pointless now. Just going to toss it on the dung heap. I should have a yard sale one of these days. I should have some sort of... You know what we should do one of these days on the program? We should have some sort of an ethereal, artistic yard sale where I just have, like, on display, on the table, a list of show bits, elements, and segments, things that I've thought of that I'm not going to use, things that I'm not going to have time for, ideas that are not really appropriate for this format... little bits and show gimmicks, pre-produced bits of humor, things that just aren't going to work out for the Rick Emerson Show. I'll have a sale. I'll sell them to other radio hosts. You can come by and be like, you know, come by and I'll have it. What's this? Well, this is a wacky recurring bit that is relatable to women between the ages of 18 and 34. As you can see, it's never been used. I'm not really going to have an opportunity to use it. I mean, I bought it. I was thinking I was going to use it, and then it just sits here. You know, it's never been. If you want it right now, I'll give it to you for $5. And then they take the bit and they go away. That's a great idea.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Screw you guys. It's funny. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
From higher top, the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News. Me, Tim Riley, reporting our top story. Dracula is arrested in Beaverton. A nearly six-hour standoff ended yesterday afternoon when Beaverton police lobbed tear gas into a condo where a man told 911 dispatchers he was Dracula and threatened an officer with a knife.
Okay.
Under arrest, 53-year-old Danny Rogers, $50,000 bail. Apparently
he'll be out by this afternoon, though. Apparently there will actually be no...
cited.
There will be no justice meted out at all.
Well, he claimed to be the vampire Dracula. When two Beaverton police officers arrived at Dracula's home, he came to the door brandishing a 6-inch carpet layer's knife. Finally, he gave himself up.
It seems like the real Dracula wouldn't need any sort of a knife that carpenters use, but that's just my assessment of the situation.
He's a suburban Dracula. Oh, listen to this. Before we forget, doing TV tonight, the only show you're going to need to watch is on ABC Channel 2 beginning at 8, the National Spelling Bee. This is the culmination of everything.
Is it on ABC, really?
Yep, two-hour special beginning at 8.
I mean, look, I'm all down with the Spelling Bee and whatnot, but does ABC not have any real programming?
It's owned by Disney.
Don't they? Yeah, it's true. And they all about families. All right. Well, there you go. So it's Spelling Bee tonight. Can I give you a little...
That you at some point in your life in a spelling bee?
Oh, God. It really was me. Look at that bad haircut. The sick, sad, defeated look on his face. Yep. Spark in his eyes slowly going out. Will to live sapping as he knows that this spelling bee is just a brief respite between beatings at the hand of schoolyard bullies.
Oh.
I mean, not that
you
I was
can't
that.
Wait to go to community college.
Not that I was that way. Look at this kid. Look at the look on this kid's face. I know this is radio and so forth, but I mean...
You got to post that somewhere.
You just close your eyes and remember that...
Did he get second place, that guy?
I don't know. Stephen Klein of Chattanooga. Yeah, I'm sure they can spell a lot of things really well in Tennessee. Waits for his turn Wednesday.
Nothing matters there. Don't people pick grits there or something?
You just need to be able to scroll an X on the unemployment form.
Work at the Waffle House.
And there you don't even need to be able to spell. You just need to be able to throw out that wacky diner lingo. Adam and Eve on a raft and wreck them. You know, that's all you have to be able to spelling. Who cares? And everything they sell there is 99 cents or less. So, I mean, it's Stephen Klein of Chattanooga, Tennessee, waits for his turn Wednesday at the National Spelling Bee in Washington, D.C. You just close your eyes and just picture, like, the kid that sat next to you who, I mean, just...
He looks like Justin from when I was younger.
Justin, your boyfriend?
No, Justin. He looks like this kid, Justin, like, fifth grade.
Oh, that you went to school with?
Yeah, that didn't shower. Not that kid doesn't shower. I bet he showers every day.
And who was covered in scabs. Well, I'm just gonna stop now. Just gonna read. All I know is this kid's gonna end up working in that engineering office across the hall like 10 years from now. So, you know, what are you gonna do? He'll end up making more money than all of us. You know what I mean? We can mock these spelling bee kids, which I do because I lost to the spelling bee and I carry a bitter torch about it. All I'm saying is, you people out there, you mock the spelling bee kids, you will be working for them in 12 years. That's where all those kids end up. Would you like to have us pull? Let's pull back the curtain though for just a minute. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reveal, and I wasn't going to do it.
Well, please do.
I wasn't going to do it until you told me that the spelling bee was on ABC tonight. I was talking earlier about this, how I ought to have some sort of on-air, sort of amorphous kind of radio yard sale where I sell, you know, used or never used bits to other DJs. People can come by. They can buy radio elements or ideas, things that I'm never going to be able to execute on the air. And some, you know, just great ideas for pre-recorded comedy or shtick that are not appropriate for this program. I can sell them to other hosts. Here's one of those ideas. Sarah and I were talking about this last hour, about this is the anatomy of a failed bit. We were talking about spelling bee last hour. This is the second day in a row we've been talking about this. And you would not believe the number of people that I saw in the hallway, people who came up to me, people who emailed me, and everybody had a spelling bee story. And everybody was like, I remember the word I lost with, and everybody remembered it. So I had this genius idea that we would have an on-air spelling bee of some kind. It's like, no, it'll be great. Sarah and I will have an on-air spelling bee, and we'll see who wins, and the audience can call up and give us words. But then I wanted to add the twist onto it, because that's how you do it in radio. You take some interesting idea, and then you put a twist on it. And my twist was going to be that we wouldn't be spelling normal words. We would be spelling blank words. And that's what I could never come up with. I was like, what are we spelling? We're spelling computer terms. See, if we were a zany FM morning show, here's what we would do. I'm going to tell you right now. If we were a zany FM morning show, here's what the bit would be. The bit would be that Sarah and I, who are two really overwhelmingly white people, that Sarah and I would be here having a spelling bee in which we had to spell hip-hop slang. You know that that would... Look, and your ass knows that would work well. Like, if you were on Z100, they'd think that was... If you were the Jammin' Morning Show, you'd think that was the best thing you'd ever heard in your life. Seriously. If you were on Jammin', you'd be like, it's gold. Write it down. In fact, you know what? Here, take it. I'm giving you the idea. You Jammin' guys, there's your show for, like, the next 3 days. It's funny, because it's white people trying to spell words from hip-hop. It's gold. Sort of, for you. So there you go. You can have that. There you go. The anatomy of a failed radio bit. Ladies and gentlemen, we're already at the City Desk. Here's more of the City Desk with Tim Riley.
Webcams and online chatting have sparked a new so-called sexual revolution among youth. In a large but unscientific survey, nearly a quarter of males and 20% of females said they recently had so-called cyber sex. Defined as pretending to have actual sex.
Have you fallen through a wormhole into 1996?
Wait, is on the World Wide Web.
Tell me. Okay. A, so-called cyber sex. B, where is that story from?
The Drudge Report.
Always with the breaking news, that guy. C, please, for the love of God, tell me that there are quotes around cyber sex.
There are.
Yeah! Do you remember back 10 years ago when cyber sex first, and it's so-called cyber sex. What does that even mean when they say so-called? A thing is either called something or it is not. The so-called implies that that's the name for it, but it's not like an accurate name, that there is a real proper, more explicitly descriptive name somewhere else. All right. Anyway, so-called cyber sex.
It is defined as pretending to have actual sex while sending each other sexually explicit messages or images. 75% of girls and 80% of boys say they have flirted online. Just like the sexual revolution of the 1960s and 1970s in the past century, the Internet has made whole new forms of sexual relations possible, and they're being used for the first time en masse by a new generation of youths. However, the survey found that 26% of girls and 10% of boys say they had a negative experience relating to online sex, ranging from inappropriate sexually tinged remarks to outright harassment. Parents, please talk about the dangers and risks of the Internet to your children.
Yes, for the love of God, do it now, because we know that more than anything else, what your kids want is for you to sit around and talk about sex with them. That's going to work. Have fun with that. All right.
Time for Penis Watch.
Here's your Penis Watch for Thursday.
Take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start a-melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
This comes to us from Malaysia. A man who apparently severed his penis in an attempt to convince his wife that he was faithful to her.
Allegedly. He's so-called severed his penis.
Has recovered after surgery to reattach the organ at a northern Malaysian hospital. A 41-year-old man who asked not to be identified got into an argument last Friday with his wife, who found a text message on his mobile phone from another woman. Perhaps it's some of that cyber sex going on. The man was heard by his son shouting that he wanted to prove he was not having an affair. The assertion was followed by loud screams, and the man emerged from his room bleeding profusely.
Oh, yeah. I love anything that's followed by loud, anguished screams and then bleeding.
His wife rushed him to a nearby hospital.
All right. Hey, do we have the story about that guy that bit off his tongue?
Yeah, we do somewhere here.
I'm sorry. Were you just taking a bite of something over there?
Let's see here. Man bites off tongue. Yep, right here. Man bites off.
Wait, hold on. Let's see. Special education students, bus catches fire.
I got it.
It's the best day ever. All right. This is a fantastic story. Oh, that's the penis watch, by the way. There you go. There's your penis watch for Thursday.
Take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start a-melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and I
I tell you, the finest moment of any listener party is 600 people singing this song at the tops of their lungs, swaying back and forth like one drunken gelatinous mass. Those are the best of times.
Brooklyn, New York, man with a long history of bloody encounters with the police barricaded his family in his apartment early yesterday, then bit off his tongue and spat it at the cops.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the EMTs as they struggled to take him into custody.
The really hard part about that is when you get halfway through, it's all gristle.
Apparently, he was an emotionally disturbed person.
He was an emotionally disturbed person.
Cops and paramedics think they were talking to a raving maniac. Well, they almost talked him into standing down. We're wheeling him out of the building on a gurney when the troubled man shocked them by biting off his tongue and spitting it in their direction.
Oh.
He'd already developed a reputation by staging bloody confrontation with cops. And often ended with his, chopping away at or cutting himself. In 2003, he went as far as to stab himself on the left part of the chest, whacking off his left ear and trying to remove a piece of his scalp.
So,
the following year, he
little
ran
by little,
into a wall.
His whole person is just going to end up in police evidence boxes.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually. He'll all be in there.
All right.
Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk. More of your news.
Well, a man who police said pretended to be a service station attendant and sold gasoline to drivers with $10 a tank was stealing the expensive commodity and pocketing the purchase money. 41-year-old Joseph Blair of an unknown address was arrested at a gas station in West Baltimore. He dispensed 450 gallons of gas worth $1,300. He was charged with theft, assault, and possession of crack cocaine. Authorities said he used a magnetic key and a code that effectively places the pump on standby mode, allowing him to pump all he wanted.
Is that true?
And unnoticed, yeah.
What, so it was a special thing that let him access? Because you always
a magnetic key and a code.
See, you always hear about this. You always hear about some guy that, like, there's this story that came out of Vegas years back. A guy who had a special key that would let him open any slot machine. This is back before they were all electronic. Would let you open any slot machine, and then he could reach inside and set the dials.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Not that you should be doing that, but that's fantastic. And here's the thing. It is proof that, as Michael Keaton says in the paper, that a clipboard and a confident wave will get you into any building in the world. The fact that nobody even questioned whether or not he actually were there. You just stand there and you just wear, like, one of those oval patches on your left boob that says, like, "Hi, I'm Ted." Everybody just assumes you're supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. Good times.
When police arrived, they found the black magnetic key hidden inside a Ritz cracker box.
Okay. Rick, you really ought to be having a backward spelling bee on the air. You know it'll be good. Come on. No, at no time are we going to be doing that.
Caller informed me that somebody else has already done a hip-hop spelling bee.
Really?
Yeah.
So there you go. Not only is it a terrible idea, but here's the difference, is that idea came into my head, and I immediately knew that was something we should never do. Because it's like the lowest common denominator FM humor. And yet, someone has already done it.
So they went through several channels.
Did he say who it was?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay. Well, there you go, kids. Oh, there you go. Beaten to the punch once again. Rick.
That's just to say that intern will be jobless in a year anyway.
Dude, if you just create a mocha flavor clove cigarette, I'm completely there. My asthma be damned. I would smoke that in a heartbeat. Holy hell, I'm gay. All right, there you go. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, this is from Scott Daly. Listen to this. Rick, there is a coffee-flavored cigarette out there. At least there used to be. The name escapes me at the moment. They're very smooth and very pleasant. What else do we have? We have this. This is from Kay. Rick, I will be in San Diego from June 2nd through June 6th and don't want to miss anything good. Please do not, this is from Kara, of course. Please do not talk lovingly about massaging another hot man. If one comes in, make sure Sarah gets pictures or delays the whole thing to my return. Since June 6th is shaping up to be a day without boobs, it sounds like it will be excruciatingly horrible already. I'm not worried about that. Friday and Monday, however, let me suggest some topics. Metal bands, Star Wars, Star Trek, video games, your thoughts on gas prices, Kennewick, you buying all your clothing at the Gap, and stories about spelling. Pleased to be doing all of these stories while I am out of town. I will send more if they come to me. Thank you, Kara. All right. Let's do one more, and then we will take a break. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
The longest-running NBC soap opera's days are numbered. Variety reports the network, which doesn't own the rights to Days of Our Lives, may ditch the show next year.
They can't cancel Days of Our Lives. That's like Bert and Lonnie breaking up.
Yeah, it's been under contract on the air with NBC through March 2007, so it has a little while to go. The soap premiered November 8th, 1965, recently celebrating its 40th birthday.
You know, that's people talk about that if you're, you know, Star Trek or Star Wars or something, you get on that gravy train because you could just be going to cons the rest of your life. But, man, it used to be. See, this is the thing. They do that to, you know, that index of the American economy every year. And what they do is they take certain items of a known fixed price or value, and then they, or a known, they use certain products as a bellwether or a yardstick of how the economy is doing. For instance, how much is a gallon of gas? How much is a gallon of milk? How much does it cost to send your kid to, you know, whatever, to, you know, the private school or something? And they do the same thing in comedy. There's this group, they do this thing every year, because it's like to find out the price of a cost of chattering teeth and, you know, a rubber chicken or whatever. But there are certain things that you can rely on that are sort of the canary in the coal mine in terms of determining an economy's health. Remember, it used to be that you would get a job like your dad would get a job at a factory, and then when you were 18, you would get a job at the factory, your son would get a job at the factory. And once you had a job at that factory, you were employed for life. Very few of those jobs still remain. With every passing year, more of those jobs go away, those jobs for life. Soap operas, and you, Tim, you were an actor. You used to be that you got out of soap opera. You never had to get another job again.
No.
That was it, man. You were there for the rest of your time. Doesn't matter. Your character's head gets cut off.
You can always come back.
Swept out to sea. Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg's right there to write you a new part. You know what I mean?
Somebody always had amnesia.
That's exactly what it is.
Or evil twin brother.
Or plastic surgery. Doesn't matter. What do you mean they froze the head? You know, just whatever, they bring it back. Canceling Days of Our Lives, which everybody knows the intro to, whether they've ever watched it or not. Sarah, have you ever watched an episode of Days of Our Lives?
Oh, I'm sure I have. I can't tell one from the other. The only one I ever watched for about 6 months was Passions.
Passions with Timmy the evil doll?
Timmy, yes.
Yeah, that guy's dead.
I know.
He died. Everybody goes through that phase, I think, too, when they're either in college and high all the time.
I was in college.
Yeah. Or unemployed and watching a lot of soap operas.
I was stuck on the couch after a car accident.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you watch?
I watched them all.
Yeah, I watched, I was kind of a misfit kid, so I watched Dark Shadows.
And the MTV Beach House.
They were talking about, are you a Marianne guy or a Ginger guy? I was a Barnabas Collins guy. That's what I was all about. I used to be able to do the Dark Shadows theme with my voice in it, because it was melodrama, it's a whole lot of, you know, and I can't.
Hey, a listener, totally off topic, but we've talked about soap operas enough. Mm. Hey, a listener just called and said that we should have a drunken spelling bee at Dante's next Tuesday.
So you get people who are really drunk, and then you give them really
maybe
simple words
maybe
to spell?
Satanic terms or something?
Invite the girl who hit your car.
I think if you're drunk enough, even a regular spelling bee would be, because we could just give you like one-syllable words. You know,
so it's something to think about.
No, I'm going to write that down. There you go. Look at you, bit-oriented radio person. Hold on. Drunken spelling bee.
You must be intoxicated to be admitted.
Drunken spelling bee.
That should be Dante's new slogan.
I will say this one final note about Days of Our Lives. Days of Our Lives is notable. See, this...
You're still talking about Days of Our Lives.
You see how it is, though, that we had to get the show back on the air because I can't do anything else? Because even Days of Our Lives, I can just go on and on and on about it.
You think you're the only one in that situation? Let me tell you.
The Days of Our Lives has what must by any yardstick be considered the saddest theme song of any... And I say it right now, and everybody knows that, you know, that Days of Our Lives, it's that... Da, dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
I even hear the engineers laughing at you. Nerd.
Let me take a break now.
I believe it's time for a break.
Come back. Mm-hmm. Here's what's coming up. Top 5 Zeppelin guitar intros. Because, you know, some old man. We're talking about rock and chicks and beer. Later on, Jen Lane, Barfly Magazine's going to be here. And we'll talk about this top 50 list that National Review Magazine created. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't you go anywhere.